You got your Bibles? Turn with me to Deuteronomy. We're in a series. We began a series a few weeks ago, A Journey Through the Wilderness. The good things we gain and derive benefits, if you please, from our wilderness experiences. I don't have to ask you if everybody knows what the wilderness is. Amen. We have had some wilderness experiences, but how many know that the promised land has it's been promised to us, and we are at the brink of what God has promised, and we're going to pick it up here where Moses is about to step into the promised land with the children of Israel there at the end of their wilderness journey. How many would exercise their faith this morning and believe with me that we're at the end of our wilderness journey? Amen. It's time to move into our promised land. Amen. It's time to receive the promise that God has given us. And I believe God is moving you that way, and God is leading and directing your life and mine and His church.
Amen.
And so you can't go by what you see, you can't go by what you feel, and you can't go by what you hear. Those are your senses. And we are not led by our senses. We are led by the Spirit of God in our spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. And so if you go by what you see and what you feel and what you hear, you'll be on a roller coaster. And it's not going to be a fun ride. Amen. And every time I get on it, I have to get off. Come on. Can I be honest with you? That's an easy ride to get on. But it's kind of hard to get off sometimes. Amen. And so I thank God that He helps us with that. And so we're going by what God has promised us and what His Word says to us, not the lying signs and wonders that the devil dangles in front of our face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. The things the devil says to us and the things the devil lies and says this is that and that's what's going to happen here and you're not going to get that there and watch what I do here and look at this, that, and look at that. Well, you know what, devil? Look at this. Hallelujah. Look at this. And I don't know, does he talk to you that way? Does he try to show you that kind of stuff? Does he try to tell you you're not going to make it? It's not coming in. You're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to pay that. You're not going to be, that's never going to happen for you. Yeah. We wanted to also, did First Lady talk about Grandma Ruth? That's what this is for here. We just wanted you to know, and it is important, and God is important. Blessed is the death of His saints in the sight of the Lord. The church just wanted to get Deaconess Cheryl. We have two deaconesses, Deaconess Linda, Deacon Cheryl. Something in honor of her, like her mother, Mother Ruth, passed away, and I know that was real special to her, lift her up. When somebody is like a mother to you, has been a mother, and you lose that, it's a great loss, and we feel that with you, Sharon. We don't want to go past that, amen. So I wish you would pray and lift her up, amen. And along with Carrie and the loss of her father, and also the loss of your mother, and we our condolences to you, especially and to the family. But we love you and we lift you up. We know God is going to somehow heal your broken heart. Ooh, I feel that. How many of the Bible says He's a healer of broken hearts? See, people walk in churches like this every Sunday and they have broken hearts. You never know it because we kind of put a smile over it. And we try to. But people are brokenhearted over things that have happened and families and children and situations. But He's a healer of broken hearts and He binds up the wounds. Amen? How many know He's doing that right now? Part of healing our hearts. Praise God. Our young people have, I guess they're in their young people's happening. All right. Deuteronomy, the eighth chapter. Eight is the number of new beginnings. This is the wilderness, journey through the wilderness, part three. From broken dreams to new beginnings. Amen. Broken dreams to new beginnings. Somebody say from broken dreams to new beginnings. And we all have experienced broken dreams. In the wilderness, have we not? Amen. We don't have to preach that. That's part of life. We've been sharing about what the benefits are of the wilderness because it doesn't seem like there are any benefits. When you mention wilderness, it's kind of a bah humbug, huh? But we've been watching, looking at some of the things that God uses in these times that we have gone through and are going through. Verse 2, let's pick it up there. I'm not going to read everything. But I want us to catch back up. I've been gone the last couple of weeks. Had a men's conference last week up in in Yucaipa, there at the beautiful Christian campground of Oak Glen. I was asked to be the speaker for the Family Life Church in Victorville for that weekend, and we had a marvelous time on the mountain. Thank you for letting me go, and First Lady, amen, standing in admirably, hallelujah, and let me just say that you are a blessing through this ministry, through our podcasts, and through our ministry, as God is leading us and directing us. And then my birthday was the week before. You all let me go camping with my girls and got me out of town. Amen. I've never had a church get me out of town like that. Run me out of town. Amen. They couldn't hardly get me out of town. It was so hard getting out of town, and they were all kind of standing around. I wonder what was going on there. Wonder when's he going to get out of here? You know, we got work to do. And of course, they redid my whole office and beautiful, and I still almost want to sleep in there. It's so nice. Amen. But of course, First Lady won't have that, but and I won't either. Amen. But in the backyard and all that worked so hard on that, many of my daughters are Tanika and Tuki, and a lot of you, Brother Brother Vic, amen. Appreciate all you did. And if I forgot anybody, forgive me. I know many of you helped on that. God bless you. Thank you again. I will never forget it. It's greatest surprise, best birthday ever had. How many can remember about a best birthday you ever had? How many haven't had one yet, but you'd like to have one? All right. Well, may God bless you. If he blessed me, yours is on the way. Amen. Tell somebody next to you, yours is on the way. Yeah, if he blessed the pastor, yours is on the way. Amen. 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 All right. I'm just going to let you sit. You've been standing for a while today. How many would you like to sit? You just feel like you need some rest today. We'll honor the Lord by sitting. Is that okay? We usually, as our tradition is, to stand and honor the author, but we'll sit and honor the author. Let's start in verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that God might make you know that man doth not live by bread alone. Let's read the rest of that verse. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Amen. Thou shalt also consider in heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him, to reverence him, to honor him. For the Lord thy God, somebody say, the Lord thy God, it is he that bringeth thee into a good land. Somebody shout, a good land. Yeah, he's got a good land he's bringing you in. A land of brooks and of valleys and of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. Amen. In spite of this Mojave Desert, God's going to do some stuff. Amen. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and Joshua trees and tumbleweeds and, oh, that's not in there. I'm sorry. Yeah, he took those out. Okay. All right. And pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack any good thing in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of it whose hills thou mayest dig brass. There's minerals, there's jewels. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land, which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee. Somebody shout, who led me? Through that great and terrible wilderness. Yes, we have been led through it, wherein were fiery serpents and terrible scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, the rock representing Christ Jesus, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee or test thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Amen. Somebody say, thy latter end. He wants you to know it is not for naught. He's going to bless you in your latter end. Did he bless Job in his latter end? He blessed his beginning and his latter end. I believe we're in the latter days and we're in some latter ends of things that started out good, maybe didn't turn out good, but I'm telling you, God's got a good land and it's not for naught because God is determined to do you good at your latter end. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It is concise. It is powerful. It is your love letter. It is you. Jesus is the word. Take the word now and use it and bless it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As I said, we began our series, this journey through the wilderness, and with the good things and the benefits of the wilderness. And in our first two messages, just quickly, we saw the wilderness is a place of revelation. Verse 2, we see that very, very clearly here. If you look again there, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years, or however many years he's been leading you in the wilderness to humble thee. How many would say we've been humbled? Yeah. And to prove thee, and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. Amen. Now, one thing we see here is he tests us. He doesn't tempt us, but he tests us. And the trial is not for trial's sake, but the trial is for revealing the truth. God doesn't let you go through anything that doesn't have a purpose in it. The purpose is to reveal the truth about something, you or something in that situation. Jesus said you would know the truth, and the truth would what? Make you free. Make you free. Not set you free. A lot of people say set, and that's not bad, but it doesn't set you free many times. You'll know it, but God is a creator, and he makes what's not even there. Because he's a creator, he can make a limb that's not there. Amen. He can make a leg that's not there. He'll make you free. And I've told you before, and some preacher said, well, before he makes you free, usually he'll make you mad. You ever had the truth make you mad? Yeah, I know you can't say too much because you've heard enough of it in here. Amen, amen. And so we see that experiences in the wilderness revealing the truth about ourselves. Amen. And what is really in our hearts, whether or not we will obey him and keep his commandments, or whether we will opt out and take shortcuts. I may know shortcuts are tempting. Mm-hmm. The wilderness reveals how much we trust God. It's a place of testing and so much more. And time prevents me from sharing all of that revelation. But I would strongly encourage you to go to the Glad Tidings podcast on iTunes and get the full length messages for free there. Two. We saw that the second benefit of the wilderness is a place of provision. Somebody shout provision. Look at verse 3 and 4. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Amen. Like how many know we don't get that naturally? We come out yelling. We come out screaming. The doctor slaps us. We didn't like that. Mama pushed us out. Didn't like that either. Amen. Yeah. And then really all we wanted to do after that was what? Eat. And the rest of it we'll leave alone. Amen. Eat. And so we in the natural, in our human nature, it is natural that for us to just automatically think that we live by bread alone. Amen. 3 squares a day. When I hit 40 years old, I had to stop eating 3 squares a day. I saw a picture that they took of me in front of the church sign, and I had a tire tube that was bigger than I was. And I said, oh, Lord, how did that happen? Just because I started to hit 40, and I said, well, I guess I'm not burning up enough calories. So I'm going to have to cut down on the calories. And well, we don't want to go there this morning, do we? That'll kill the anointing, and I hate to do that. Amen. How many thank God for food? It's an appetite God's given us, one of our 4 appetites, and I love it. And how many know we're going to keep it even after we go to heaven? Isn't that great? I like it. It says they're not going to be given in any marriage. Well, okay. But we're going to still eat. We're going to have some of that good chilito from Deanna and, you know, some of that good stuff y'all make. Amen. Hallelujah. At the marriage supper, we're going to, Jesus ate what? Bread and fish, cooked it on the fire for the disciples. After he rose again, he said, here, look and see, I'm flesh and I'm bone. He wasn't blood, but he was flesh and bone. He had his new body. Amen. We're not going to need any blood, praise God. So if you ever had him take your blood, then bloodsuckers, you ain't going to have to ever give any more blood. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there's something to shout about this morning, something that's somewhere. If I don't give you something to shout about, then we're going to have to check and see if you're breathing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so I said all that to tell you that the natural appetite that we have is the appetite, amen, for eating. Praise God. And so we see here that, you know, the question we asked too was, why would God cause or suffer us to hunger? You ever wonder about that? We see and we saw the answer here. We just said it, and but you probably already know it. The same answer that Jesus gave to the devil when he was going through his wilderness journey in Luke, the 4th chapter, that we might learn the truth that man shall not live by bread alone. We've got to learn that. That doesn't come natural. Amen. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, we're trying to live out of every word that proceedeth out of whoever's mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. We don't want to talk about that either. Mm-hmm. And God knows us. How many know God knows us? God made us. He knows our fiercely independent natures. He gave them to us. Amen. And then he tells us now we're gonna discipline that. We are? Yes, we are. And we say, you know, we say, God, our tendency is, you know, to go it alone. Our tendency is, I've got this. I can do this. I don't really need God. I don't really need you. Amen. And to heed or need to heed or do what he says or you say or anybody else says. But in the long run, how's that working for you? No. In the wilderness, we learn that we really live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Doth man live? Amen. Have you learned it yet? Somebody said, was honest, said no. I appreciate that honesty, brother. Hallelujah. A real hunger for him and his word. How hungry are you for the word? Well, thank God you're here. You must be pretty hungry. Amen. How many know it's tough to going from junk food and the slop of this world to having any kind of appetite for the word of God? We're constantly being fed the slop and the junk food. And so when it comes to wanting spiritual food, we don't really have much of an appetite for that. I have an appetite for whatever my favorite fast foods restaurant is. I don't want to name something that make you sick. Amen. I don't want to do that either. A lot of things I don't want to do this morning. Amen. What do you want to do, preacher? Well, I want to bless you. And I want you to see there's some benefits from what you all been going through and what I go through and where we're going. Amen. Amen. So you understand sometimes. Look at verse 16, just talking about that bread of life. He says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. There it is again. All you've been through is not for naught. Amen. That he might do you good at your latter end. So there's a reason and there's a rhyme for everything we go through. There's purpose for it. Even though I see no purpose in it. How many things have you gone through that you thought, man, why do I have to go through that? Amen. Why is everybody always picking on me? Oh, that's Charlie Brown. I'm sorry. Well, there's more on this provision. Again, get the CD or get the podcast. Number 3 today is where we want to go, where we left off last week. The wilderness is a place of discovery. Somebody shout discovery. It's here in the wilderness that Moses reminded them in Deuteronomy 1:31. He said, in the wilderness, you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son or his daughter all the way you went until you came into this place. What place? The land of promise. What God has promised you. The land of broken dreams to new beginnings. Somebody shout, new beginnings. We surely have enough broken dreams. Amen. We were at the CareNet pregnancy banquet, as First Lady shared earlier. And First lady drew my attention to a father carrying his four-month-old son standing in the back. There were hundreds of people there carrying his son there, holding his son in the back of the building there at the AV Fairgrounds where they held the banquet. And she said, she just commented, she says, you don't see fathers carrying their, you didn't see fathers carrying their children when we were having children. And, you know, I thought about that. You know, that's true. Mom changed them. She fed them. She rocked them. She socked them. I mean, she rocked them. She did everything, right? Yeah, she rocked me a few times. I still got some lumps. Amen. Yeah. She sang that Rock-a-Bye Baby. I don't know why. Whoever made that up was demonic. Amen. In the treetop. What's he doing in the treetop? Mama threw him up there. Yeah. When the whoever cries the baby, oh, it's not good. Amen. Yeah. That's a lullaby from a frustrated mother. Amen. Hallelujah. So they did everything. But now fathers are doing more. We see more fathers carrying the children. We see them in Walmart having a little thing on the front of them and the babies hanging on there. Amen. And I never got that. No. That's good for, what's those things in Australia? Kangaroos. Yes. All right, back to the message. Amen. And now we see here as Moses addresses the Israelites at the conclusion here of their 40-year journey through the wilderness. Boy, every time I say conclusion, I just love the conclusion of their 40 years. However many years you've been going through, I like to just dwell on this conclusion bit. If God led us to this text, I got the Holy Ghost all over me. And I know you can't hardly believe it, and you may not be able to, but I want to tell you, I believe we are at the conclusion of some of the worst wildernesses we have ever been in. Can you just let me stand here and get the Holy Ghost bumps? You know what? You know when you get the Holy Ghost bumps? Because now it's cold. Anybody cold in here? No. And say, well, why do you get the bumps? When said, because it's a witness to truth. Whenever you get that witness, it's, that guy's not hyping me. He's not telling me just something he thinks is nice for me to hear. He's telling me something God is saying. God is witnessing it. God is saying that we are coming to the end. Say, I'm coming to the end of my wilderness. I'm ready to step into my promised land. Mm-hmm. God said he's going to do you good at your latter end. Whew. My question was, Lord, how much latter? And I thought I heard him say later. No, he didn't say that. I thought he did. How many know Abraham stepped into his promise? We don't want to talk about him. He was 100 years old. And then he had a baby. Now, who in the right mind is going to have a baby at 100 years old? I better not argue with God. He knows what he's doing. Amen? How many would say, God, don't bless me like that? No. Please. Hallelujah. Whoo. Thank you, Jesus. How many are glad other people are having babies and you're through? I got any through people in the house? I may know for years in the church, we was thinking we were the only ones that were multiplying and replenishing the earth. And you know how that was? You come into church and the wife would be pregnant again. You'd have, invariably, you have one of them little Christianettes tell you, you're pregnant again? You know, you'd say, yeah, aren't you happy for me? You know, you almost feel like hiding it, not telling anybody. They act like you're supposed to have 1.5 kids, you know, and wherever the other half went, you know. Hallelujah. That's the policy they have in China, not here. Amen. Well, glory to God. Am I all over the place or am I all over the place? They're at the conclusion, say conclusion, of their 40-year journey. A journey, by the way, that should have taken them 11 days. How many have a feeling you should have got further and faster and be further along than you are right now? Come on. I would venture to say it's true for all of us, except maybe for one or two of you exceptional people. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, you always have exceptions to the rule. Mm-hmm. A journey that should have taken them 11 days. But that's another subject, isn't it? I sure have another subjects. Tell somebody shout, don't go there. Yeah. Verse 5 says, Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines, that's a dirty word, disciplines his son or daughter, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Now, don't miss these words. Father, son, daughter, carries, disciplines. They're significant. And to this point, Israel had only known God as creator, as king, as warrior, as judge. But in and through the wilderness, they had come to know him as father. That's significant. That's important. Especially in this time and these generations when fatherhood had, as First Lady said, has been so maligned and so castigated and so made fun of and so put down. You ever hardly see a program on TV that doesn't make a buffoon of the man. It's a demonic plan and plot to make the man look weak and to make fun of him. Through the wilderness, they discovered that God was their dad and they were his children. In the Greek, the word is father is Abba. And that's best rendered, oh, sweet daddy. Hallelujah. I remember the old hymn of the church, I'm a child of the king. Any of you ever remember that? Well, you're about as old as I am then. You shouldn't admit that. That was a trick. I'm sorry. The wilderness we saw as a place of revelation. It's a place of provision. And today it's a place of discovery and transition. Somebody say discovery and transition. And that's one of the biggest problems that we have with this generation and some other generations too. Because it is by and large a fatherless generation. They don't know who they are because their fathers have never told them who they are. And they have never told them who they are because they don't know who they are. Their father never told them who they were. You don't see that a lot in Jewish homes. Jewish fathers know how to bless their children. Huh? They know how to speak and tell their children who they are. That's why we see so many doctors and so many lawyers and so many professional people. Because they know how to bless their children and tell them who they are. Amen. Amen. You are this. You are. Amen. Because we have a society and a culture that's telling them what they're not. Huh? They're continually telling them what they can't do. And amen, they're this and they're that and a bunch of other negative stuff. But looking for a father. Mm-hmm. Fatherless generation. Thousands of sons and daughters. Don't know who their father is. Don't know who he is or where he is or even if he is or if he cares. And some of them don't even care if he cares. Huh? They're so hurt and so wounded. Psalms 27:10 says, I love this. It says, all the fatherless and the motherless have this promise. Psalms 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Whoo, shakarabo. The Lord will take me up then. I don't have to be an orphan. I don't have to be fatherless. I don't have to be motherless. I know what that is. Some of you know what that is with me. Others of you that had good mothers and fathers, God bless you and God bless them. But there's more that don't than do. And there's something in us that needs the Father. We're made to need the Father. We need a father. Many women marry men marrying their father, not a man, not a husband. They're looking for a father, so they marry somebody older, hoping they can find the father figure. And vice versa, too. Men marrying women. He didn't marry his wife. He married one, married her, looking for a mother. I don't want to be your mother. I married you to be your wife. God's going to have to be your mother. God said he'll be your father. I just want to be your wife and your husband or whatever that is. We got that mixed up today too. Amen. Isn't that true? We know situations and it's easy to do. When you're needing mothering, you're needing fathering. It's easy to look for that in someone. And especially someone who's mature and someone who is exhibiting those qualities and those things that you missed. I mean, you know, we got a lot of people that have missed things. They're just not there. They have never been there in their life. They were not implanted. They were not imparted. They were not put there where they should have been. And so they have gone through their life missing parts. Mm. Ooh. Looking. Searching. Well, the search is over. Jesus is the Father of all fathers. If you'll jump in his lap and let him put his arms around you, I guarantee you he won't abuse you. He won't molest you. He will not want anything from you. He will give to you everything you have need of. He will love you with a pure love, and he'll let you know who you are. Woo, you're the darling. You're my darling. You're the apple of my eye. I love you. I tattooed you on the palms of my hands. Now, I'm not advocating tattooing, but I'm just telling you, God's got a tattoo, and it's you. When you see his hand, you'll see me there. Hey, you'll see you there. God's thinking about you. He wants to be everything to you. He wants to put those pieces back in. He wants to create things that have been missing, that have never been there. If he can heal you, if he can heal your hurts, if he can get you to stay still long enough. I mean, no, it's hard to get people to sit still that are hurting. When you're in pain, it's tough to sit still, man. This thing hurts. And so God works and moves, and God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I guess it is cold in here. I'm not sure. When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I like what Living Bible says. He says, if my father and mother should abandon me, I may know the spirit of abandonment is a terrible spirit. It is as terrible as the spirit of rejection. Rejection and rebellion are the two main spirits that plague men and women today, young and old alike. And we feel abandoned for whatever reasons. And because we were abandoned and because we were rejected in some way, somehow, rejection goes inside. And how many know you can only take so much rejection? Ooh, boy, I'm feeling this. I said you can only take so much rejection as a child or as an adult. I don't care who you are. And eventually, when you have taken enough rejection and can't take any more, you will then strike out in rebellion. It is the flip side of the coin, because you can only take so much rejection. But thank God we are accepted in the Beloved. All right, I'll get happy. You just sit there and watch me get happy. Amen. Accepted in the Beloved. Not rejected anymore. Accepted in the Beloved. Woo! Oh, my God. Ah. Oh, that's another message. Glory to God. Ah, you were welcome, he says. If they abandon you, you would welcome and comfort me. You would welcome and comfort me. I mean, no, there's a welcome for you. I said there's a welcome for you. The welcome mat is out. All you got to do is come in. I like one of the definitions of the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes life easier and more pleasant in sorrow and separation. Aren't you glad for the comforter? The Holy Spirit is here. How we need the comforter. Hebrews 13:5 says, and most of you know it, for he has said, what he says, says, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. They may leave thee, they may forsake thee, but I will never leave thee. They may have to go for whatever reason, but I'll be here. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be with you to the end. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be here for you. And you know, that's something not everybody knows. Because we get the impression of the Heavenly Father from our earthly fathers. Huh? And he abandoned me. Who says you won't? So the wilderness is a place that God uses of discovery, that we discover he is our Father. Whew. I have a Father. I'm not illegitimate. How many know there are no illegitimate children? Huh? Put that stigma on a child. No, there's only illegitimate parents. Come on. Father, forgive me. And he does. No, they're not illegitimate. They're legitimate. God wanted you here. God wanted them here. I don't care how you got here. God wanted you to be here. Hallelujah. God wanted you to be here. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. And I know we get messed up and we get hurt and we get tore up. But I want to tell you, God can take the worst tore up mess of a little boy and heal him. Woo! Stuttering, messed up little guy. Tore up from the bottom up. can't talk, stutters. Woo. I mean, no, we compensate for a lot of what happens to us. We learn how to deal with it, and we make a way somehow to live, somehow to exist, somehow to face another day, somehow to talk when we can't talk. And then sometimes we're vulnerable to the substitutes of the enemy. Drugs and alcohol and all of that. All that substitutes. See, we can saint in the order of that, offer that to you, say, yeah, you loosen up a little bit, you know. You're killing the action around here, buddy. Come on. Oh, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. See, all I did was basically say yes or no if you got that out of me. And maybe grunt. I didn't grunt very good either. So we take a few reds. That'll loosen you up. Oh, you all don't act like you never took nothing. Okay. Some of you might not have been. And then you're so high, you got to get down. So then you take some whites, some uppers. And then you're so down, you got to get back up. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. One of the greatest, if not the greatest need, let me say it again, in our lives is the need for a father and for a mother if we didn't have one. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven. Kids fight over daddy. He's my daddy. You ever see kids fight? He's my daddy. That's my daddy. Well, yeah, I know he's your daddy. But he's my daddy too. No, he's not your daddy. He's my daddy. He's my father. I said he's my father and he knows my name. Hallelujah. That's good enough. I have a father. I want to close. Somebody say he wants to close, but will he? Y'all comfortable in here, aren't you? Okay. I want to just close with the question that continues and remains for many of, and I think First Lady said earlier, somebody said, who am I and who are you? Who am I and who are you, really? There's seasons in our lives change. Would you say that true? And would you also say that in some cases seasons never seem to change? Huh? Have you been there? You're caught. You're stuck in a vortex. The old wilderness becomes a new wilderness. Have you been there? And without a meaningful role or sense of purpose, rugs can be jerked out from under us and situations change and relationships, and all of a sudden the meaningful role that we once had or whatever it was, that the sense of purpose has changed, and there's something we no longer know who we are. We no longer know who I am. It's a new wilderness for the old wilderness. So many things changing. So let me close with a word on who he is and who we are by Sheridan Voysey and his little booklet entitled When God Says No. How many loved your parents when they said no? From dreams to new beginnings, from broken dreams to new beginnings. How many know that's where we're going in this? From broken dreams, wilderness to new beginnings. Say, I'm going to new beginnings. I'm leaving broken dreams. Yeah, we're leaving that. We're leaving that. That's going to stay in the wilderness. Who is he and who are we? Stay with me now. I'm going somewhere and I'm going to get there quick. Amen. Say, I want to believe that, Pastor. I really want to believe that. I desperately want to believe that. I've been doing better, you got to admit. Not perfect, but better. All right, let me get to it. I done wasted 30 seconds. Can I say most of us build our lives on good, but ultimately secondary identities? Stay with me now. How do you describe yourself to others? Probably as a wife or a husband or a mom or a dad or a grandmother, grandfather. Perhaps as an artist or an engineer or a teacher or a programmer or a teenager or high schooler or a college student. But who are you if you're not a wife, if you're not a husband, if you're not a mom, if you're not a dad? Who are you if you're no longer an artist or an engineer or a teacher or a programmer or whatever vocation you've either enjoyed or hoped to have? It's in the wilderness that we're stripped of all these good but secondary identities. Stay with me now. I'm going somewhere. When all that we are or have dreamed of becoming is gone. Ooh, come on now. How many know we're living in a changing world that is changing faster than the earth is spinning? when we all that we are of dream of becoming is gone, and there is anything deeper, more foundational left. Is there anything deeper or more foundational left, we wonder? We got to listen again to Moses' words. He said, in the wilderness, somebody say, in the wilderness, you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. There's something beautiful about that. How many know he's carried us? How many have seen the picture from long ago where the father was carrying him? He got the footsteps, that footprints. Amen. That blessed millions of people because it was so true. Carrying us when we didn't even know we were being carried. And here's what's left when those secondary identities are stripped away. And we've had some of them stripped away, have we not? I'm talking to somebody this morning. God is talking to somebody. And man, you thought you had an identity and you thought it was gone and you thought that was it. But it's been stripped away in your wilderness. Somebody talk to me. I know mine has. I'm starting to get it back. Huh? God is starting to move in the land. Most of us. Amen. Here's what's left when those secondary identities are stripped away. You are a son or a daughter, a child of the Father, and nothing, listen to that, nothing can take this primary identity away from you. Success can't shake it, neither can failure. It is impervious to sickness, tragedy, and even death. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, Luke 10:20, and nothing, somebody say nothing, can separate you from the Father's love. Woo! Somebody ought to give the Lord praise right there, because there's a lot of things trying to separate us. I said there's a lot of things trying to separate us. How many know there's things trying to separate you right now and you know it? Come on, can I just be real? You walked in here with things trying to separate you. You walked in here with questions and doubts. Sometimes I've walked into a place like just like this and thought about walking out the same way I walked in. Come on. Woo. And it wasn't after the preacher closed either. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen or oh my. Not our preacher. Oh my God, not our pastor. Romans 8:38-39 says nothing can separate you from the Father's love. Oh, that's good news. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. He's lavished it that we should be called the children of God. Do you realize who you really are? You're a child of the King. You need to lift your head up, hallelujah, and walk like you're a child of a King. We're not paupers, we're princes. We're called kings and priests unto God. I'm not talking about walking arrogantly and proudly, but walking like you know who you are. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you'll become what they say you are. They have a lot to say, don't they? I said they have a lot to say, don't they, about you. You know why they have a lot to say about you? Because they can't say it about themselves. Smile, preacher. You're getting ugly. Ooh, I think I better run after that one. John tells us, and that is what we are. We're the children lavished on us, his love. Your role and your position or status may change, but your identity will remain forever. Ha! Things change. Identities, roles, but nah. Your identity as a son or a daughter will remain forever. So whether you succeed or fail, are you hearing me now? Listen to me. Whether you succeed or fail, whether applauded or forgotten, you are a child of God. And that is all that really matters. All that really matters is I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Things come and things go. Stuff happens. But bless God, I'm a child of the King. God is my Father. Holy Ghost is my comforter, my nourisher, my counselor, my guide, my helper. Jesus is my Savior and my elder brother. Don't mess with me. My big brother will get you. And if he don't get you, my daddy will. My daddy can beat up your daddy. Devil. Huh? Yes, he can. In the wilderness, we discover where we most deeply are, who we most deeply are, children of God, our Father. And finally, somebody say finally, by the time Paul got to finally, some guy fell out of the third loft in the Bible. Finally, the wilderness is a place of transitions. Would you shout, it's a place of transition? The wilderness of broken dreams can be a hard and barren place, can it not? But it's also a place of revelation, provision, and discovery. Moses hadn't finished, though. There is one more thing about the wilderness he wanted Israelites to know, and it's a quick one. Observe the commands, he says, of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Hallelujah. Tell three people around you, God's bringing you into a good land. He's bringing you into a good land. Bringing you into a good land. A good land, a place of revelation, yes. I said it's a place of revelation, yes. A place of provision, yes. A place of discovery, yes. And now Moses reveals that the wilderness is also a place of transition. Get this, the wilderness is the ground between what was and what will be. Glory to God. What it was is not what it's going to be. You've got to get out of this. What it was what it's always going to be. You've got to get out of that. You've got to stop that. You've got to quit believing that lie. What it was is not what it's going to continue. I know it's been like that for a long time, but let your faith release. What it was is not what it's going to be. And I'm holding on to that, and I'm believing that. I don't care how much devils fight against, and they do, but I'm telling you, I'm sticking with it. That's my story, and I'm not changing it. Hallelujah. It's the ground between what was and what will be. The wilderness, the place between slavery and freedom. The place between immaturity and wisdom. The place between God's promise and its fulfillment. Between who we were and who we are to be. Glory to God. How many know you're to be somebody? God says you already are somebody. But the whole world says you're nobody. Come on. And after 40 years in the wilderness, the door of the promised land stood before them. And after 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus launched his world-changing mission in Mark 1, 12 through 15. And all this gives us hope as we walk our own difficult journeys. Have you had a difficult journey? Of course you have. But let me tell you, after the wilderness comes new beginnings. After whatever wilderness you've been in comes new beginnings. Somebody shout, new beginnings. And all of us try to focus on the upside versus the downside, do we not? Of situations. But focusing on the, quote, the upside of your situation will only get you so far. Amen. Anybody have any situations? Let me explain quickly what I mean as we pray ourselves for the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. No matter how hard we try, I mean, no, we cannot put a positive spin on the crucifixion. It was a dark, barbaric event. There was no upside. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you, there's some no upsides on some of your situations either. Can I be honest? But there is something to it. So I don't want to leave you there and stay with me now. There was no upside on the crucifixion. How many have been waiting for an upside on your wilderness experience? How many could say there had been no upside yet? Somebody wave at me, blink at me. I know I'm talking to you. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm looking for an upside, but I sure ain't seen any. Well, Jesus wasn't seeing too much either, it seemed like, at least from what it was a dark event. It was barbaric. And Jesus didn't try to find one either. I said he didn't try to find one. Isn't that interesting? Instead, he did something entirely different. Have you ever noticed how many people Jesus ministered to as he hung on the cross? As we come to the table, have you noticed that? While he was on the cross, Jesus ministered to his mother by putting her in John's care. Find that in John 19. He ministered to a thief hanging next to him in Luke 23, to the people who crucified him in Luke 23 also, to a Roman centurion who came to believe in him in Luke 23, and Matthew 27, to all of us by forgiving us of our sins through his sacrifice. Wow. All of this was done in the middle of his suffering before things came good at his resurrection. And we know there's a resurrection for every death. Do we know that, don't we? Every death you've been through, God has a resurrection. And yet there may be some benefits, quote, in your situation that you may not have seen, but you'll also find it difficult and lonely at times. I said you'll also find it difficult and lonely at times. Mm-hmm. Help us, Jesus. Yet out of your suffering will come opportunities to minister to people in ways you otherwise never could. So we have a new mission. Tell somebody there's a new mission. Your story isn't just about whatever it is, it's about broken dreams. It's about tested faith. It's about a need for a new beginning. I said it's about a need for a new beginning. we've got how many needs in here for a new beginning? As many people as there is here. It's about taking a risk and starting again. Somebody shout, take a risk. Yeah, and start again. Holding on to God when you don't understand Him. Huh? Now, I know many could benefit from your story. And through it all, God seems to help people find some hope and healing. In the wilderness, God begins transforming our suffering into comfort for others. 2 Corinthians speaks it again as we spoke it in the memorials yesterday and Thursday. We comfort with the comfort we've been comforted with. Amen. The wilderness is a place of transition. It's where God gives us a new mission. Through the wilderness, God recycles our suffering into service for others. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. 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 Give Him a praise.